Praise God. Hallelujah. So we want to thank God for his presence, and once again bringing his people, each and everyone's life, and bringing us together in the house of God. Hallelujah. We are building up a spiritual building unto the Lord, and something significant is being done here in this place, in the realms of the spirit. Okay, I want to continue the topic of visions. We are continuing on the topic of visions, but before I go into vision, I want to bring the message of a vision that I received while we were worshiping. And the message, the prophetic message that the Lord wants to give us. So let's hear out the prophetic message first, and then we will go into the teaching. Okay, we will go to Psalm. Someone open Psalm chapter number 135, verse number 15 to 18. Psalm chapter number 135, verse number 15 to 18. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Underline that. That is the prophetic message. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Now, while we were worshipping, I saw several hands, human hands, not one person's hand. There were many hands, and they were creating an idol. The idol looked like a idol that signifies an altar. Idol that signifies a demonic altar looks like looking like a rod, like a pillar. And there were several hands constructing that idol. And when I was looking at that, the Lord told me to declare that if you want to create an idol by your hands, everything that is created by man's hand, it shall be destroyed, the Lord is saying. Everything that is created by man's hand shall be destroyed. Everything that is created, that is idols created by the hands of man, shall be destroyed. And that is the word that the Lord wanted me to speak. Okay, let me go to another word. In Isaiah chapter number 2. Isaiah chapter number 2. And then I will go into the definition of idols. Because we might say, oh, I am not making any idol. I am not having any idol. But let's go to the definition of idol and then evaluate our lives. Are we making idols or not? Isaiah chapter number 2, verse number 20. Verse number 20 and 21. It says, in that day a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each for himself to worship to the moles and bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the crags of rugged rocks, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily. The idols that you are making shall be of no use in the day of calamity, in the day of the terror. Because the idols are the one who will take you away from the presence of the Lord and make you hide from his glory. Instead of going and standing in his glory and seeking his glory, it will take you away from his glory. And when his glory appears, he will make you hide. The idols will make you hide from the presence and from the glory of the Lord. And how are we? How should we evaluate ourselves? Are we making idols or not? How should we evaluate ourselves? Are we making idols or not? And the Lord gave me the scripture from the book of Matthews, chapter number 7, to evaluate and to retrospect our life and to get rid of making idols. In Jesus' mighty name, let not our hands be involved in making idols, but let our hands be involved in building the house of God in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Those people who were there last night in the intercession meeting, they know I will not release, but yesterday I released something that the Lord wanted me to give. And the Lord told that you are the repairers of the old waste places are the altars that was laid waste by your ancestors. No one looked at it, no one paid attention, like Elijah, but he went and repaired that altar, and the fire came down. And the fire came down after Elijah repaired the altar. Daniel had an interest that the Jerusalem and the temple should be rebuilt, and Judah shall be restored, and he was praying and interceding. Ezekiel had the same vision of rebuilding the temple. Ezra, Nehemiah, you know what they did. They had a heart to rebuild the house of God. Their vision was, we cannot see the house of God laid in waste while we build our palaces and our houses, they said. David said, I cannot stay in a palace and keep my God in tents. I want to build a house for him. That is, and the Lord is saying, that is the vision I have given this group. Hallelujah. You are that person who will rebuild the altars that your ancestors ignored, that your family ignored. God is calling you to rebuild that house. And God is asking you to put your hands into the repairing of the walls like Nehemiah and Ezra. And when you repair and restore God's altar, God will repair and restore your life, your family, your finances. When you build God's house, God will build and rebuild and restore your house and your architecture, your infrastructure. Any which ways, that was yesterday. But today, God is saying, we should take off our hands from building idols. What is building idols? I was asking the Holy Spirit what to say. How should I explain it? And the Lord took me to Matthew's chapter number 7. Matthew's chapter number 7. Verse number 24. Matthew 7, verse number 24. Therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will liken him to be a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Stop there. Jesus is saying, whoever hears my words and does them, applies them, practices them, he is building on the rock. He is building on, that's the right building you are building. That's the infrastructure of the spirit house you are building. If you hear the words of Jesus and practice them, you are building it right. But everyone, verse 26, this is idols. This is the definition of idols God gave me. Verse number 26. But everyone who hears the sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And this is the law. The Holy Spirit revealed me. This is where we are building up idols. When we are building idols, we hear the word of the Lord. We just hear it. And then we reject it, or we ignore it, and then we practice our words, our own emotions, our own thinking, what we want to do as per our own will. What we are doing is, we are building an idol. Amen. Can you say amen? Even if you don't like, say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
When we hear the words of Jesus and do not do the words of Jesus, do not practice the word of Jesus, the word of the Lord. And when we hear it, do not apply it, do not practice it, but we practice our own words, our own will, we are building unknown idols. We are building unseen idols in our lives. And you know what? Everything that is built on your word and not the word of God. You heard God, you heard Jesus, did not do anything. You ignored it and you practiced your own will, what you wanted to do. The Lord is saying, those idols that you have made, I will destroy them. Those idols that you have made by practicing your own will, It shall not sustain you in the day of calamity. The Bible says the nations have made idols for themselves. The Bible says the people have made idols of gold and silver for them. But in the day of calamity, they will throw it off. And they will hide from the glory of the Lord that is supposed to come. Hallelujah. I am telling you, maybe you will not be able to make gold and silver by obeying the Lord. But I am telling you, on the day of the Lord, you will be taken up with His glory. If you practice the word of the Lord, and that is where you are putting your hand, not in building idols, you are putting your hand in building His house. That is the prophetic word.
Hallelujah.
That is the prophetic word I want to give, because I saw many hands building idols. More than one hands. And they were building an idol, like, I don't want to take the name of that god, but that the specific idol they are building. And unknowingly, when we hear the word of the Lord, reject it, don't do it. And when we go as per our own will, we are contributing to building of idols. And slowly, slowly, the Bible says, idolatry is stubbornness, the spirit of stubbornness. And rebellion is as witchcraft, Samuel said to Saul. You know what? Who was Saul? You know what Saul did? God used to speak to him, and he did not used to obey the Lord. He used to do something else, which was as per his own will. We saw that in the last meeting. God told him, wait till Samuel comes for the sacrifice. He went ahead and did perform the sacrifice by himself. So God speaks to him something, and he rejects the word of God, and he does his own will. He does his own word. God told him, go and kill everyone in Amalek, even the king of Amalek, even everything, all the spoils, burn it, don't take anything. But he went, let the king live, and brought the king with him, and he took the spoils. So God tells him something, he does something else. And Samuel came and told him, Saul, do you know, idolatry is stubbornness, and rebellion is witchcraft. So when we hear God, take his instructions, God, I will do it. And then we don't do that. We do something else. You are building idols and you are in idolatry. Hallelujah. Even if you don't like, say amen to that. And you,
amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So that is how we build idols. I remember I built idols in my life. God had some plan for me, and I was going to the merchant navy. I wanted to earn money. I built so many idols in my life, but all those idols never helped me. All those my plans, it ruined my life, and I hit rock bottom. And God, it was all destroyed. Everything that you plan, it shall be destroyed. Everything that you have built, not on the word of the Lord, but your own will, whatever it might be, I am prophesying it will be destroyed. And you might say, oh, you are negative. No, it will be good for you when it gets destroyed. You will come to the realization that, Lord, I am sorry. Lord, forgive me. I sinned against you. I build my own plans. I build my own dreams. I build my own visions. I did not build you, your kingdom. Build on your word. And if you obey the Lord Jesus Christ and obey his word, you are building on the rock. The floods will come, the winds will come and beat against that house, but the house shall not fall because it is founded on his word. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, amen.
That was, I believe, God wanted to speak to us before I go into the teaching. All right. Visions. I started off with the basic definition of visions, that is imagination of man's heart. But when we come to Acts 2:17, where your young men shall see vision, it is a deeper meaning of visions. Okay. And last time we saw the vision of Isaiah, and I have to continue on that vision of Isaiah. And I told you, from the vision of Isaiah, we understand that there are two things that can hinder the realms of vision. You are not responsible. Sometimes there is something around you. There is something around you. And also there is something that people around you are doing that is responsible that you don't receive anything from God. As if everything is blocked. And the first thing I told you that blocks the realm of a vision is strange fire, strange sacrifices or unlawful sacrifices. Hallelujah. God wants the realm of third heaven. God, for the realm of third heavens and God's visions to be revealed, God wants something on earth that he can respond to. God wants something on earth that God can relate with, so that his fire can come and open the realm of heaven on earth to men. And what he wants is an acceptable sacrifice, is a perfect sacrifice that I explained in the Friday meeting. Okay, so I'm not going into that. So that, and that is what Elijah did when he repaired the altar, the Bible says, and he prayed, the fire came down. And when the fire came down, those people who were in two minds, no, is Jehovah really God? They shouted, Jehovah is God. The Lord is God. What happened there? The realms were cleared out when the fire came down. Okay? And what was blocking the minds of people to know Jehovah as God was broken, and they were convicted. The fire of conviction, they were convicted. Jehovah is God. And that is the time Elijah started to hear from heaven. He said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. The realms open when there was an acceptable sacrifice brought to the Lord. But we saw that from the example of Uzziah, from the example of Saul, from the example of Nadab and Abihu, when people of God brought strange sacrifices, the realms were blocked. And God was angry with them. God punished them. Some of them were killed. Nadab and Abihu were killed. Hophni and Phinehas were killed. They manipulated the sacrifice. Saul, his kingdom was taken away from him because he manipulated the sacrifice. So people of God, as Christians, you should be aware of strange sacrifices. And never in your life, you should never bring a sacrifice that is strange, that is not commanded by the Lord. Hallelujah. Whatever it would be, prayer, fasting, giving, whatever, don't bring a strange sacrifice. Otherwise, you block the realms of vision. That is one of the things that is responsible for blocking the realms of vision. Because it says, Isaiah chapter number 6, verse 1, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Why? Uzziah brought a strange sacrifice. He went into the temple and burnt incense, which was not his forte, which was not his responsibility. And he started to do that strange fire he started to give to the Lord, and the realms were blocked. It needed Uzziah to die for the realms to open and Isaiah to see the Lord high and lifted up, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We have to pray prayers, and we have to prophesy prophecies like, Lord, in my country, whoever is responsible to block the realms of your visions, he, Lord, let your judgment come upon him, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. It's more important for people to encounter God than for you praying, no, save the wicked, Lord. You are praying for the devil. Pray in the spirit and you will pray the right prayers. Hallelujah. King Uzziah had to die for Isaiah to encounter God. Okay, we will come to that. So that is the first. And we saw that King Uzziah used to offer strange sacrifices in his pride and his arrogance. The second, what we are on to tonight is the second hindrance to the realms of vision. The second hindrance to the realms of vision. The second hindrance to the realm of vision is ruling authorities. Ruling authorities over territories, families, and every kind of jurisdiction. Ruling authorities over territories, families, every kind of jurisdiction, etc. Ruling authorities. Sometimes you are in your house and you pray, you try to understand God's will, you try to hear God, but you never, because there is a ruling spirit. There is a ruling authority that blocks the revelation that is supposed to come to you. So we will see that. And let's go back to Isaiah. Chapter number 6. Isaiah. Chapter number 6. Verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Again, there was a ruling authority called Uzziah. There was a spirit working through Uzziah, because of which the visions were blocked. And Uzziah had to die. Uzziah had to die. And then, let's go to understand a bit, and then we will go into the details. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 26. 2 Chronicles. We will see chapter number 26 first and then 27. Second Chronicles 26 verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord, his God, by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So that was the transgression of Uzziah, that he entered without permission, he entered without allowance, and he did something that he was not allowed to do. He offered incense. He brought the sacrifice of fire, of incense to the Lord. And that's why the realms were blocked, and it took Uzziah to die and his son to come on the throne for Jotham, his son to come on the throne for Isaiah to again to see the, for Isaiah to see the visions of the throne room of God high and lifted up on his throne. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 27. Chapter number 27, verse number 1. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah had done, although he did not enter the temple of the Lord. Okay? So the Bible specifically mentioned that. In my Bible, it is in brackets. It says he did everything that Uzziah was a good king in his early days, but the pride corrupted him, pride destroyed him. But now Jotham, it says he did all those good things that Uzziah did, except for entering the temple like the father did. So he did not manipulate the sacrifices. He was a king who understood sacrifices. He was a king who understood that acceptable sacrifices were supposed to go to God. And that's why, when the ruling authority changed, there was a shift in the ruling authority, Isaiah saw the vision. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? There was a shift in the ruling authority, and the ruling authority was not influenced by the spirit who blocked daily sacrifices. You know, when the Antichrist will come, it says in the book of Daniel, he will manipulate or he will block the daily sacrifices. That is the meaning. He will block the daily sacrifices so that people don't hear God. He will be able to manipulate the realms of God, realms of the spirit, the atmosphere. Okay? There are ruling authorities that are influenced by demonic spirit, spirits of Antichrist, and they perform some things that blocks the realms of vision. But we, the people of God, we are going to expose the techniques and the wiles of the enemy. And we are going to and pray and prophesy so that these demonic ruling authorities will be removed and the right authorities shall come in Jesus' mighty name. Now, let me start off. Let me show you now. This is just one example, people of God. Hallelujah. This was just one example of the ruling authorities. So do we see that? Uzziah died and Jotham came. Jotham did not manipulate the, he did not enter the temple. He did everything good, and the realms of God opened, and Isaiah could see God high and lifted up. Hallelujah. That's why even Gideon was commanded, before you go and do the work of the Lord, you have to go and destroy the altars of Baal and Ashtoreth and the images of wood in your own house. Go and destroy it. Go and destroy it. Something in your house is blocking you to serve God. Something in your family. Remember, I took the journey map of Jacob. I told you that God's will for him was to settle in Bethel. But he, even after getting out of Laban's hold, he was going round and round near Shechem. buying land, buying property there. But he had to settle in Bethel. You know why? Because there was the existence of idolatry, idols brought by the wife, brought by other people. And when he encountered God, he again said to people, get rid of all your household idols. We will go to Bethel. You will never understand where you have to go until there are things blocking the realms of visions. You will never understand what God has for you until you participate in deliverance of removal of authorities, of idols, of spirits that are blocking your vision, that are blocking your journey with God. And for you to do that, you have to consider Jesus as the one who controls your life completely. Because if you love father, mother more than Jesus, you cannot follow him then. No, my wife is beautiful. Let her keep the idols. If she is happy, I am happy in her happiness. Go back home and do some job. Don't serve God. Don't travel with him. If you love your wife too much, more than God.
Amen.
Yeah, some people say that, oh, my happiness is in my wife's happiness. My happiness is in my daughter's happiness. What is that nonsense? That is against the word of the Lord. My happiness is in this person. When that person, you have a soul tie, sister. You have a soul tie, brother. Break that off. The Bible says that your joy should be in the strength of the Lord. Your joy should be in the presence of the Lord. And then you put your pieces of soul in your daughter, in your son, in your husband, in your wife. And that's why your life is in a mess. Because you consider other people more than God. And you cannot travel with him. You cannot see visions, I'm telling you. You have to do an operation. You have to do an evaluation of the things that are blocking the visions of God. Which are the ruling authorities? Which are the spirits? Which are the deities? Hallelujah. Okay. Jotham. Okay, let me show you now. We will go on a study in the book of Daniel. A small study. And I want to show you that whenever a prophet sees a vision of the end time, of the kingdoms, of whatever, that the prophet relates that vision in the time, in the time of the reign of the king which was ruling the land. Okay, that is what I want to show you in the Bible. The vision is related in which time it came. Did it came in the rule of Belshazzar? Did it came in the rule of Nebuchadnezzar? Did it come? Which king was ruling at that time when the vision came to the prophet? Who was ruling at that time? And I want to show you how important it is for us to pray fearless prayers. How important it is for us to become like the prophet Samuel, who took the sword and cut Agag in pieces, because he knew Agag was someone. You know, Haman was later the enemy of the Jews. He arose and he got power because of the error of King Saul. He let Agag live and Agag come in Israel and speak some things. Any which ways, let me not go into that. But you will realize that you got to have that fearless lion nature, the lion of Judah nature in you in these times to pray prayers like that. Hallelujah. To pray prayer. We are two lovey-dovey Christians, naive. No. They should be saved. They should be loved. No, listen. You got to see in the spirit. If you love them and if you try to save them, you are leading a whole generation to hell, because that one instrument of wickedness is blocking the realms of the spirit, and a whole generation will die without knowing God if you don't pray against such people. Are you understanding? I'm not talking about a physical fight. I'm talking about a spiritual one. Okay? Are we realizing? Daniel had to pray. And with the assistance of angels and with the assistance of God and the prayer and the fasting, Nebuchadnezzar had to be uprooted from his throne. Okay. Daniel was not like, no, I have to pray for his salvation. No, Daniel prayed and interceded as per God's will. And Nebuchadnezzar was taken off. The pride of Babylon was broken. And the Medo-Persian Empire came because of such kind of intercessors who knew how to deal with ruling authorities. The church does not know how to deal with ruling authorities over nations. The church does not know, Christians do not know how to deal with ruling authorities. Hallelujah. Because it all depends. The deliverance of visions and of deep revelation and mysteries depend on the ruling authorities also. Yes. Let me go to the book of Daniel. Let's start off from Daniel chapter number 7. Let me read some scriptures and then I will start speaking. Daniel chapter number 7. Someone open Daniel chapter number 7. Sister K can open Daniel chapter number 7. And read only verse number 1 and 2 for me. And then Brother John can open Daniel 8. Again read verse number 1 and 2 from there. We'll read only verse number 1 and 2. Okay, anyone else can read here?
Okay.
Yeah. Sister, if Sister Vetonia is there, she can open Daniel 9. Daniel 9 and read verse number 1 and 2. Okay, yeah, go ahead, start off.
Okay, Daniel 7, 1 and 2.
Yeah.
In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main fact too. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were sitting up, stirring up the great sea. Wow.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. Next. Yeah.
Daniel chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me. To me, Daniel, after the one that appeared to me the first time. Then I saw in the vision, and it so happened while I was looking that I was in Shushan, the citadel which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in the vision that I was by the river Olai.
Mm-hmm. Okay, read verse 3 also, and the next verse.
Then I lifted my eyes and I saw, and standing beside the river was a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. Okay. And the higher one came up last.
Yes. Okay. All right. Yes. Then next.
Daniel 9, 1 and 2. In the first year of Darius, the son of Assyrius, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, and he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem.
Okay, so Daniel 7 that Sister K read, it was the first year of Belshazzar. Belshazzar is the son of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire. Daniel chapter number 8, what Pastor John read was again Belshazzar, the third year of Belshazzar. And what Sister Vetonia read was the King Darius, the Medo-Persian Empire that came. And then I will read Daniel 10, verse number 1 and 2. Daniel 10, verse number 1 and 2. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, this is another king, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine. Verse number 3, okay? No wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris river. Okay. Verse number 5. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, His face like the appearance of lightning, and eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words were like the voice of a multitude. Okay, now listen to me. This is the vision he saw in chapter 10. Now, during the reign of Belshazzar, Daniel chapter number 7, the first year of the reign of Belshazzar, Daniel chapter number 7, the vision that Daniel saw, I cannot go into the details, it will take a very long time. So, I have already explained those visions, okay? But during the first year of Belshazzar, the vision that Daniel saw was the vision of the beast kingdom, okay? The vision of the Antichrist kingdom, of the beast kingdom, during the reign of Belshazzar. Then Daniel chapter number 8 that we read, in the third year of Belshazzar, what Daniel saw was the vision of the Medo-Persian Empire. The goat and the horns of the ram of the goat. It was the Medo-Persian empires, the Greece empire and all those things, you know. That is the vision that Daniel saw. In the book of Daniel chapter number 9, during the reign of Darius. Now, Darius was a good king. What he saw, the vision that Daniel saw was the coming of the Messiah. Hallelujah. Was the coming of the Messiah. That was a greater and a deeper vision that he started to witness the coming of the Messiah. That is the vision he saw. That was the things explained by the angel in the vision that the Messiah shall come and all those things. Now in Daniel chapter number 10, during the reign of King Cyrus, you know who is King Cyrus? King Cyrus was the anointed of the Lord. Isaiah chapter number 45, verse number 1. Let's go there. Stay with me. I'm explaining you some things, okay? Isaiah chapter number 45, verse number 1. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double door so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. Hallelujah. So King Cyrus was the anointed of God. He was the one who initiated the restoration of the walls of Jerusalem, of the rebuilding of the walls, of the reestablishment of the house of God, of the city of God. He was the one, because he was anointed by the God, anointed by the Lord. Daniel chapter number 10, the man that Daniel saw was Jesus Christ. So, when the ruling authority is in alignment with God, people witness God in the visions. The prophet have revelations that reveal God and reveal who he is, reveal his nature of Trinity, reveal the Messiah, reveal Jesus. But till the time those Belshazzar was in reign, he never saw Jesus. But when Cyrus came into the position, he saw Jesus in Daniel chapter number 10. Okay, many of the people might say, how did he see Jesus? What he is describing about the man that he saw is the same man that John saw in Revelation chapter number 1. Daniel chapter number 10, let's go there. For those who don't know, I have taken this, but some people might not know about it. So let me explain that. Daniel chapter number 10, and we cannot do a parallel thing in the physical book, but Daniel chapter number 10, let's look at the man that Daniel saw in the vision near the river Tigris. Verse number 5. He was girded with gold. Okay? He was girded with gold. His body was like beryl. His appearance was like lightning. His eyes were like what? Torches of fire. His arms and feet were like bronze. The feet were like bronze, and his sound was like the voice of the multitude. Okay, remember these features of this man. Eyes were like torches of fire, then feet was like bronze, you know, and there was a waist, around the waist was gold, and he was wearing white. He was like lightning. His voice was like a sound of a multitude. Remember these features, Revelation, and keeping those features in mind, let's go to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 12. This is what John saw. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. Again, what did Daniel saw? Gold, girded with gold. This man is also girded with gold around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like flames of fire. What Daniel saw? His eyes, torches of fire. Here John is seeing the eyes having the flames of fire. His feet were like fine brass, the same thing. Daniel also saw the fine brass. Jesus here is having the feet like fine brass, and as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He was talking about the sound of many multitude, but John is talking about the sound of many waters. So it's human explanations about what they witness, but what we see is the same person.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Daniel is one of the most important prophets in the Old Testament because he met with Jesus Christ. The book of Daniel is very important because Jesus appeared in the book of Daniel 2 times. Once in the furnace of fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and once here with Daniel. It's very important. And if I give you the revelation, a group of strong intercessors can bring down Jesus in the affairs of the kingdoms.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. A group.
Jesus.
Three, four people, strong intercessors, dedicated, walking in the Lord. And Jesus has to come down again and again because they are doing business. Jesus has to come down. He had to come down for Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Then again, he had to come down for Daniel. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So Jesus is happy when his intercessors keep him busy. Jesus is happy about that. But when when there is a class of fleshy, carnal Christians, you will not see encounters with Jesus. Hallelujah. And there was, I don't think there is any book in the Bible where the kings change just in one generation. So many kings changed. There was Nebuchadnezzar, then Belshazzar, then Darius, then Cyrus. How many? Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, Cyrus, around 4 kings changed in a person's lifetime. Go, and if you go and read other books, there are hardly any books in the Bible that the other kings, not the kings of Israel, the other kings, you know, who had kept Israel hostage, they changed so fast. Because if there is a strong group of intercessors, demonic kings cannot survive. The powers will be shifted because they are resisting the blockages that is blocking the realms of God. And the visions will change. The visions will go deeper when this rulership changes. Hallelujah. And as Pastor John Paul, we got to pray for India. Because I am telling you, our spiritual state, including our own selves, is worse because there is a kingdom that is going on for 3 reigns. That means the power of darkness is at work. And these people are blocking the visions of God for the prophets of God in India. Hallelujah. We got to pray. We got to understand these things and pray. Okay. Are we understanding, people of God? How ruling authorities can...
Yes.
Are responsible for the visions that come to us. Now, I spoke about territories, but this can be the situations... The situation of cities also. This can be the situation of cities. This can be the situation of your house. The ruling authority over your house is blocking the visions that is supposed to come to you. I have experienced that in my house. I cannot bring those testimonies, but I'm telling you, ruling authorities over the atmosphere of your house. Maybe you left a person, but the spirits of the person are still there. Maybe the person was casted out, but the spirit of that person are still there, blocking the realms of vision, because some people go away, but they leave the existence of the spirits of altars, of plantings, of objects in the house that still blocks the realms of God, realms of vision. So the atmosphere, the ruling spirits, the demons in the atmosphere are responsible to block the kind of revelations through visions, especially the deeper realm of visions of God that is supposed to come to you. But in the name of Jesus, these ruling authorities are exposed tonight in Jesus' name, and people will know God. People will know God in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We are doing a deep. I am telling you, we are doing a deeper level of evangelism, where we are sitting and locating authorities, exposing them, eradicating them. And I am telling you what will happen as a result. People will start to encounter God in visions. People will start to encounter God in visions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Shekhobo Karian Tabarakada. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people of God? And we will now there is a mighty servant of God that is not regarded so much in the New Testament. And I want to talk about him. That mighty servant of God was Ananias. Ananias was a watchman in the realms of the spirit of the territory of Damascus. Some people are not understanding. When Saul was coming, Ananias was sitting in his house, but God came to him in a vision and said, this man is coming. He's staying in that place. Why? Because he was the guard in the spirit. And if anything comes into the territory, God will come and show him in a vision. And that's why, even for Saul to encounter Jesus, he encountered Jesus not in Jerusalem, not in Judea. He had to travel north. Damascus is near Syria. And when he got in the borders of Damascus, your Bible says that he encountered Jesus there. These, are we understanding? Oh God. And the intercession and prayer ministry that Ananias was into was so powerful that any person whom God wants to meet comes in Damascus, he will meet God in the vision. That is deeper levels of evangelism. You did not even go and preach the gospel and told Saul, because if you go and tell Saul, Saul will take a knife and kill you. You cannot do that.
Yes.
If you want to save the souls, you need to go into that realm of evangelism where you clear the atmosphere so that you don't have to do anything. Only if the person gets into your territory, God will meet with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know how many of you are understanding, but let's go to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. Okay, verse number 1, Acts 9, verse number 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Okay, underline that if you want to. When he came near Damascus, what happened? Suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one, but they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate or drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. This is whom I am talking about. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. He said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Hallelujah. Now, you saw that? There was this guy, Ananias, and Saul, as soon as he entered Damascus, Ananias saw a vision that he has to go to Saul of Tarsus, who is staying in such and such a place. Okay, inquire of the house of Judas in the street called Straight. He got the address, and God told him, at the same time, Saul was also having another vision that a man is coming and laying hands on his head, and he will start to receive, he received his sight. So as soon as Saul enters the territory, he starts to have visions. Damascus and the body of Christ, the church in Damascus, was powerful. The enemy who came to arrest them, he himself became a Christian. That is how powerful when you take authority over the atmosphere where you stay. Hallelujah. Someone coming to arrest you, fight with you, will himself start to believe in the Lord. Not because you told him about Jesus, Jesus loves you, but because the realms are open in that city. You will see, hallelujah. Are we understanding, people of God? Ananias was a watchman. If you set yourself over the watchman, over your house, before something, a spirit wants to visit your house, God will say to you before they come, such and such a person is coming. Such a spirit is coming. Yes, I'm telling you. Why God is showing you those visions? Because you are standing as a watchman. And a watchman has to know who is coming. Before they come, he will know who is coming. Hallelujah. I don't know. Some people have operated in that. You know that. Some people have operated in that authority. That was Ananias. That's why I'm saying he was the watchman over the territory of Damascus. Anyone coming to harm the body of Christ, God will show him visions. Hallelujah. The ruling authorities in Jerusalem, Saul was not, even though the church was in Jerusalem, but you know the Pharisees were there. The Sadducees were there. And the realm where Jesus could encounter Saul could not open. So Jesus waited. Okay, he's coming to Damascus. He thinks he's coming to destroy my kingdom. He's coming in the territory where my intercessors and watchmen are. I will show him who am I. And Jesus encountered Saul as soon as he came to the borders of Damascus. As soon as the territory changed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The Spirit of God is saying to some people, get out of churches where the realms of visions is blocked. Because you are blind. Because you are going into a church where the realms of vision is blocked. And Jerusalem was the place where the realms of visions were blocked. When Saul went into Damascus, he started to see God. You will start to see God. Yes, the fellowship you get into is very important. The body of Christ you get into is very important. Very important, I'm telling you. It decides what you will see and what you will not see. And that brings me to Mark chapter number 8. Verse number 22 to 26. Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8, verse number 22 to 26. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Instead of healing him, took him outside of Bethsaida. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands on him. He asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. For Jesus to heal a man of the blindness, he had to take him outside the city. Now what it says, verse 26. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Now many people think that this man was staying in Bethsaida, but this man was not staying in Bethsaida. People brought him to Bethsaida because Jesus was in Bethsaida. He was staying in some other town, and after he got healed, Jesus said, don't go to Bethsaida. Maybe he was going to the church in Bethsaida, to the synagogue in Bethsaida. He said, don't go to Bethsaida. And the Spirit of God is telling you, don't go to Bethsaida. Don't go there. Don't go into areas where the visions of God is blocked. I'm telling you. Otherwise, now you are seeing, but again you go into there and again you become blind. Now, I have told you many times, there are two. He was not healed completely the first time. For Jesus, the Savior, he laid his hands and first time he could not see. But what he saw was men were walking like trees. What happened is, before his physical sight was supposed to be restored, before that, the spiritual sight had to be restored before he could see physically. And what he saw the first time was, he saw into the realms of the spirit and he saw trees walking, because he saw men as the prototype of the government they are under. Because the governments are signified, spiritual governments in the Bible are signified as trees. And men are the prototype of those trees. Either you are the prototype of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or you are the prototype of the tree of life, the wisdom of God. So he started to see men walking like trees. And Jesus said, okay. The second time, his eyes opened into the right physical vision. And he could see people. And the sight was restored back to normal. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So, there were ruling authorities over the city of Bethsaida that blocked the vision. There are ruling authorities over Jerusalem that kept Saul from encountering Jesus, from having those visions. Hallelujah. So that is the second hindrance to the realms of vision. Now we understand the vision of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up on his throne. The train of his robe filled the temple. Hallelujah. And people of God, we have to understand there are also ruling authorities around you, in your house, things in your house that could block the realm of visions. But tonight, by this word, if you have received it, and we pray that everything that blocks the realms of vision will be removed in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. And then the next time I'm going to continue. I'm still on visions. And I am covering almost everything, but not going into details of the visions, but the things that the Lord told me to cover in the vision. And next time we will go to the visions of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel is full of visions. So next time we will go to the visions of Ezekiel. Let's pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, every ruling authority, Lord, that blocks the realms of vision, Father, you have the power. And we pray, Lord, prayer is earthly permission to Lord, your intervention in the kingdoms of the earth, in our lives on the face of the earth. So we pray, Lord God, that you intervene in the ruling authorities of the nations, of India, of Kenya, Lord, Africa, Nigeria, Lord, America, Amen. Canada, Father. You intervene, Lord. The blockages that the enemy wants to create by placing those rulerships over the nations, over our cities, Lord, over our states, Father. Let there be a shift in Jesus' name. Let there be a shift in Jesus' name. Let there be a shift in Jesus' name that people will witness Jesus. Father, I pray for your children. In many people, Lord, are staying in families, Lord, in their houses, and there are ruling spirits, Lord, even through people in their houses, even through in the atmosphere, through objects, Lord, through ancestral bloodline, Father. Lord, I pray by fire they will locate it tonight. They will remove it tonight in Jesus' name by fire, parete, and they will sit in the position. They will stand in the position of the watchman. Father, in the name of Jesus, every soul ties be broken right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every blockage in the realms of visions be exposed. Be exposed. Be exposed tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. That your people will witness, Lord, visions. They will have visitations, Father. Rebo nakavaya ravanda. E zebalaka de nemorianda. E pola dana rabanda. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, Father. Empower your people, Lord, with your wisdom, with your knowledge. And thank you once again for this time, Lord. Lord, we cover this time. We cover the people, even those who are not there, Father. Let them hear your word, Lord. Let them come out of Bethsaida, Lord, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father. Lord, we cover the word, Lord, with the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you, Lord, Father, not only deliverance for ourselves, but for territories, for houses, Lord, for cities, for states, Father. Thank you, Lord God. We give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' mighty name. We pray, Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.